Welcome to
Too Much.
Welcome, everybody, to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, October 19th, 2009. I'm Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Bo with me.
And hello, everybody.
Yeah, and it's another wonderful week gone by. I'll just say before we get started on real topics, when we had the baby, when Alex came, I sort of divided the time I was taking off into two pieces. One, like right when the baby arrived, and then about a month later, when all of the relatives are coming to town to visit. So over the last week, we had my mom here. On Friday, Brandy's mom arrived, and on Saturday morning, my mom left, and my sister arrived. So at the moment, we have Brandy's mom and my sister here, and so we've got this whole thing going on. I think my dad's not coming until like November, which is okay, because it's nice to have the relatives in town. It's nice to have them see the baby and all that stuff, but it is pretty hectic, and there are folks coming in and out, and I took some additional time off of work because I knew, like, you know, hey, my mom's in town, my sister's in town, yeah, I'm going to pay attention to them, not be like, okay, have fun here in the house with the crying baby, I'm going to go to work, bye. You know, so
but that sounds like a plan to me, actually.
So anyway,
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, actually. It could work. It could work. Anyway, so a fun time here. And then I'll go back to work for real, like on Friday or something. I don't know. Anyway. I mentioned that for, you know, one reason is actually late, my sister, and apparently I think her boyfriend too, have...
She's got a boyfriend?
Yvonne?
No. Oh.
You want to... I will make you feel old again. In February, she will be 20 years old. Oh. Or no, sorry, in January. Sorry, Cynthia. I know you're listening. She will be 20 years old in January.
You know, I still, like, remember, like, you know, shit, it's in January?
Yeah, January. January 18th.
Fuck. I remember she was a baby.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was 20 years ago, almost.
20 years ago! Okay, all right. Okay, anyway.
Mentioning that she does actually occasionally listen to this show, and she actually gave us feedback on last week's show. Last week I was talking a little bit about...
which was very, it was very nice of you to send feedback. I was happily surprised that she listened to the show.
Yes,
that she didn't think there were, and that she didn't mention there were a couple of idiots or something. Which,
well,
I,
she knows
I,
that, so you know it goes without saying.
Okay. Well, yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, she didn't pile it in it.
Anyway, we were talking about the calorie labels, and I was.
That's what I wanted to talk. That's one thing. So,
Anyway. Oh, so I had been mentioning that, you know, a lot of people, including myself, apparently respond to the labeling of calories on menus and such by, you know, I'm going to get the stuff with the most calories because I want to get my money's worth, damn it.
But Cynthia smartly went and, like, pointed out, which I could have pointed out, of course,
Her comments in front of it? You can read them.
She mentioned the fact that, you know, people don't just buy stuff based on the calories, but also that you need to get nutrition.
Right.
From the product.
So her comment, basically, I'd said, you know, hey, I buy food to get energy, and that's the calories. She says, regarding calories, you said that people eat to gain energy, but that is only half true. People eat to gain nutrients.
To gain nutrients.
Which your body...
Well, think about, for example, scurvy, for example. Okay?
All the time.
Well, yeah, you know, so you had the guys out there on the ships, and they got scurvy, and the reason they got that was because they didn't have availability of fresh fruits and stuff, and getting juice would, you know, cures that. And there's a lot of things that happen when you don't get the proper nutrients into your body.
So she says people also eat to gain nutrients, which your body needs to function just as much, if not more, than it needs the energy in the food. Most foods that are incredibly high calorie lack most, if not all, of the nutrients your body needs. So if you really want to be getting the most for your money, you should be comparing not only the caloric value to the price, but the various nutrient levels to the caloric content. You want the most nutrients nutrients per calorie, not the most calories per buck.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I am, you know, tonight I just went to the supermarket, and you know, we cook practically everything here. I mean, we with fresh, you know, we use fresh vegetables, fresh, you know, everything's fresh. We don't really are not of using of pre-packaged boxed kind of food. We're not we don't really do that much. I
would be 100% boxed pre-packaged foods if it wasn't for Brandy, who makes me eat fresh home cooked.
Well, one of the things that I was that
and
was,
I shouldn't say makes it's good
this.
Stuff. It's good stuff. I just, you know, I.
It's just that I know that if you were living by yourself, you wouldn't go through all that process.
No,
but the one thing about it is, I mean, I went, my wife, you know, sent me with this enormous list of all these different fresh ingredients to get, which I got to admit that there were a couple. I mean, the thing is that sometimes she winds up writing the ingredients in Spanish, and there's a couple of things that I don't actually know because she's actually a better cook than I am. I mean, I'm a decent cook, but she is far more involved and makes a far more complex meals than I will make, mm-hmm. even though I will make, you know, I can do, you know, some complex meals, but she's far more experienced at it. And so she goes and gives me this list of so many ingredients, and they're all fresh stuff. And like, then she wrote them in Spanish. So I got to go. I'm not really, you know, sometimes I have problems with, like, I know a word in Spanish. I know what it means, but I can't, like, come up with. I know the word in English and I know the word in Spanish, but I don't know that they actually mean. What that they mean the same thing.
Now, I'll give you an example of this kind of thing that you've probably got straightened out for now, but I remember in college you being confused between lemons and limes because the word for a lime in Spanish is...
limón.
Right. So someone said, I want lemons, and you're like, limes and lemons.
Exactly, and that's actually the perfect example. So I got this whole list. And there's all this stuff. I got like 95% of it. There was a couple of things that I just could not. You know, there was like she asked me for tilapia. I have no idea what the fuck that is. I am looking at it. I'm like, I don't know. And then she asked for another one, which is apio. And I'm like, I'm trying to translate that one. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. I don't know what the hell this is. I don't know how to translate it. So I just said, oh, the hell with it. So, okay, so there were a couple. But anyway, the point is that there was a research that showed that apparently that, you know how sometimes they talk about, well, you got to cut your fat or this or that or butter or whatever.
Right.
The research showed more that just the fact that you cook all your food based out of fresh products instead of processed food improves your health far more than going out and buying all these light processed meals.
Okay.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons, like, for example, the French are very well known for for rich foods and whatever. But when you go to France, you go to high schools and schools and whatever where they have kitchens. And the kitchens start very early, and they all cook fresh meals based on, you know, fresh ingredients, nothing processed. They start very early in the day, and they work really hard at doing that. But they're all made out of fresh ingredients, and the foods are very rich. But yet at the same time, you know, France suffers a lot less heart disease and things, and has a longer life expectancy, etc., and so forth. And so, you know, I think that's why that's important. So the nutrients that come from those fresh ingredients are very important. So it's very good that Cynthia pointed out
I do have slightly more to respond to on that point, but it is time for a break, so we'll take a break and we will be right back in after this, whatever it's going to be, because, you know, I don't know right now what it's going to be, because when I put the show together later, I'll roll some dice and pick one of my things, and then it'll come out, and then, you know, so enjoy this thing.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein.
Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we're back.
I have my decision-making dice over here. You know, they could help out.
Decision-making dice are very important. Very, very important. We talked about this last week. It's critical. Yeah. How can you get in the car and decide what you're going to listen to if you don't have some dice with you?
My decision-making dice are a little bit, you know, they're not numbers. You know, they have one has a time decision, and the other has a decision on what to do. So, you know, if say somebody would ask you, when can I get this? You'd roll that dice, and it would they tell you later.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, something. It will give you a time. Or if you were like, oh, I'm bored, what should I do? You know, you roll the dice, it'll tell you, take a nap. You know, or like, you know, I don't know, tell you something.
You know, take a nap is almost always the right answer.
I gotta agree that taking a nap is a pretty good answer for a lot of life's problems.
Indeed. You know, you're stressed, take a nap.
Take a nap.
You're hungry.
Take a nap.
Take a nap. You know, you might not be as hungry when you wake up, or maybe someone will shove food in your mouth while you're asleep. You never know.
You never know.
Anyway.
So anyway, we're going to comment on
What I was going to say is, of course, she's absolutely right. Of course, there are two things. First of all, it depends what you're trying to get out of it at the moment. Because of course, on a long-term basis, when you're dealing with your diet and you're dealing with, you want to eat healthy, you want to get all your nutrients, you want to do this, you want to do that. You know, most of the time when I'm in a situation, though, when I'm about to go buy food at the kind of restaurants where this is really the most relevant, like fast food restaurants or even like vending machines, or like, because I made the example of the vending machine, I'm after a quick hit of energy. Or I'm looking to get stuffed.
Okay, I got to admit that I never get food from a vending machine.
Okay. You know,
I'll rephrase that. Not never, but I gotta say that it's been the last time I got some food from a vending machine must have been like 2 years ago, and there were cheese crackers.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
So anyway, there are two things. First of all, sometimes you really are just after the calories. You're after the sudden energy
boost. You're hungry. You haven't eaten in hours. The only thing available is a damn vending machine, and you're like, by God, just here, give me some crackers.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Or you go to the fast food restaurant and you just want something right now, and you don't give a crap if it's nutritious. You don't give a crap if it, you know, is actually in any way, shape, or form good for you. You want it, A, to fill you up, and B, to taste good. And calories aren't an exact proxy for that, because, of course, there are things that fill you up that don't give you any calories, potentially. I mean...
And my wife just pointed out over here that apparently the word that I couldn't translate, apio, is celery.
Oh, okay. That's an example of a zero or negative calorie food, actually.
That's one thing. Zero calorie, but what about nutrients? What the hell? I hate celery.
I mean, I like celery. I enjoy celery.
How could you like celery? I mean, the stuff is just awful.
I love celery.
God.
Now, it has to be like wet, cold celery.
Oh, gosh. That's even worse.
It can't be like any of this, like, dried out celery crap. No.
No. It's awful. My God. And by the way, it really gives me a lot of gas whenever I've eaten it.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
You know, I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, that stuff is, like, evil. My wife. No, I didn't say that you want to kill me. Never. I love your food.
So the one other thing I was going to mention besides
just
the fact
I like the celery in the food, but yeah, you know.
The one other thing I was going to mention besides the fact that sometimes, yes, all you do want is calories and you don't care about the other stuff, is that It's also the fact that there's one number. The nutrition, you're absolutely, it's important, but there's not a simple thing you can look at and just grab a food off the shelf and have it in one nice number describe how healthy it is for you. It just doesn't exist. It's too complicated a thing. And so it's much harder to, and it's certainly possible to spend a lot of time and effort analyzing the nutritional contents of different meals and making sure blah, 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 blah. But it's a lot more work than just looking at one number and saying, is it big or small? And yeah, and I know that's lazy, that's whatever, you know, but and all we were getting at really the last time around is the psychological thing, you know, because my own personal eating habits aside, the main point here is there's a psychological association where everybody was expecting you put the nutritional information right out there, you show the calories, and people will say, oh my God, that's got 2,000 calories, I'll go for the lower calorie food. But what they've actually found in practice is that drives people to the higher calorie foods.
Oh, I don't know about that. I still want to see more research on that, because I don't buy it. I don't completely buy it.
See, here's the thing. I think you'd absolutely find this if you dug into it, that if you took the subsample of people who were explicitly already watching their calories, they would drive to lower calorie. But if you take the population at large,
you try to make a balance. I think that I don't know. Well, some people do. I try to make a balance. I joined a new gym. Well, it's not a gym. It's a club like near my house a couple of months ago, and they have a cafe at the club, and they have the menu actually has the calories of what the meals are, and it's quite interesting because I've actually picked a couple of meals. Well, I've tried to balance. I've seen, oh, it's something I like, and this one has less calories than that other thing I could have ordered. Oh, okay, let me try this one, okay? And so, I mean, I've actually made some of that decision to eat less calories based on that. Another thing, for example, like I've cut out a couple of certain brands or size packages of chips because I see the package and I'm like, shit, here's the problem with it is you're going to eat the whole bag.
Yeah, okay, let's be real. You'll eat the
whole fucking bag, okay? And I look at how many calories a damn bag has and I'm like, oh, forget this. I can't get this. Because I'm going to eat the whole fucking thing. You're not going to stop. Those fucking chips are addictive. So, yep. I don't know. You know,
and damn well
I guess
designed
that,
to be so.
Yes. So, I don't know. I think, it depends on what you're looking for. It depends on what that decision making. Now, I will tell you that if you're trying to be conscious about your health, I think it's certainly far more helpful to have that published.
Yes, I would not disagree, and I think amongst the people who are trying to be conscious of their health, it probably helps them make good choices. It's just among the rest of the population who doesn't give a shit. If anything, the higher number subconsciously says you're getting more for your money, and so they buy that stuff. I want to add more. One more thing before we take the next break, on the food topic, and then we'll move on to non-food topics, which is, for the last, since April, I've been on a continuous trend of, my percent body fat has been improving. My weight has been going down. I was a little bit more than the doctors say I should be. I'd lost close to 20 pounds since April.
Wow.
I think it averaged out like between 15 and 20 somewhere. But that had been going on a nice continuous trend. I will say, however, that in the last month since the baby, first of all, the baby and then all the visitors coming, I've been eating out a lot more often. I've been, spending less time going out and walking the dog and things like that. So the trend has reversed a little bit over the last month. And, I'm slightly up again over the last month and not at a disturbing level, but I'm like, that was nice having that continuous downward trend there. I would like to get back to that. So I'm thinking, Because, I mean, literally, over the last month, we've eaten out a lot more than we usually have. You know, especially with guests in town. But even before the guests, when it was a, you know, brand new baby in the house, blah, 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 blah. You know, we've eaten out more than we usually do. When we have eaten, even when we have eaten at home, we've tended to eat a little bit less, you know, good stuff, you know. And even at work, when I've been at work, I've had lunch with people more often than I did before, you know. So yeah, I am fully expecting that once, you know, everybody goes home and things sort of return to a steady keel again, that hopefully my trend will continue, or at least flatten out. I mean, I'm not unhappy with where I am right now, but you know, I'm a little bit above the where they say I should be.
Your cholesterol. What did they say?
Well, I'll give you two data points, because in the entire time I can remember, I can only remember actually having two cholesterol tests. One. Okay. Was way back, like a long time ago, like more than a decade ago. And
okay,
at that's
really useless.
I know, but I'm just giving it as context. At that point, they told me that my cholesterol was
off the charts?
What? Off the charts low.
Oh, low? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
I know, surprising, right? I mean, given...
Yeah, because
I had crap a decade ago.
Fast food, pizza, and crap. I'm very impressed. Okay.
So they told me it was actually, you know, low like a decade ago. The last time I had it done was probably a year ago. And they told me I was in the area that 2 years ago they would have said normal range, no problem, don't worry about your cholesterol. But they had recently lowered the guidelines, so I was now just above that level at the range they called, you know, it's not bad yet, but you should pay attention. And, you know, lower it if you can, but it's not at the point where they're worried. You know, so, and I don't remember what the hell the numbers were, but I remember the interesting part to me was it was in the zone that if I'd taken the test a year earlier, they would have said, fine, no problem whatsoever. But because they'd revised the guidelines, they were now telling me, okay, we're yellow light, you know, don't go any higher, try to get this down a little bit, but don't worry too much.
My wife got really mad at me because since I am a butter-eating, cheese-eating, I'll eat every steak that I can grab my hands on person, that my cholesterol is not just low, it's just stupid low. And the good cholesterol is high, mm-hmm. very high. You know, so I don't know. I've thankfully had good luck with that. So, you know, not really.
So, let's take a break.
Anyway, all right.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about things that aren't food. At least
right.
I hope they're not food, because like the things I have on my list are like Balloon Boy and Windows 7.
They're making me hungry.
And, you know, I don't want to eat the Balloon Boy. And
okay.
I don't want to eat Windows 7. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tel Motel.
Candy Jones Begins by Jen Coiter. Let's learn the rules of the game. First of all, let me request you sharpen your scissors and remove all belt loops. Buttons are low-cost tattletales. Be wary of wearing any accessories that you can't handle. For emergencies, a tiny sewing kit should be on hand. Make a critical rundown of your imperfect features. Hold your stomach absolutely flat and tuck your buttocks in neatly. Pay attention to your shoulders. Pay attention to the condition of your shoes. Observe swimsuit ads and learn to stand gracefully with your knees together. Practice sitting and standing in front of a full-length mirror until you are certain that you place your legs in their most becoming positions. And please don't wear a fur piece. Take a good look at your hemline. Skirts should be worn modestly short. No kiddie foil costumes permitted. Make certain to remember that nothing is forever except that you are a woman. Do look crisp and tidy, but not unfeminine. Take and make the time to beautify all parts of your body. But go a little easy on the eye goo. makeup should be applied to dramatize the eyes and lips, but not to give the effect of a lady spy. Don't laugh. There are such things.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, and we are once again back.
Well, actually, before we... Okay, I finally remember what the hell the subject
is
that, was
again?
That I...
Before we started the show, we started talking about what topics we were going to have, and Yvonne was like,
"What the hell?
I had something I really wanted to talk about, but I forgot." And then I mentioned the nutrition stuff,
That was one thing. That was one thing. But okay. I remembered there were two things. The second thing was I got a new Airport Extreme base station.
Oh, okay. With the dual band and thing and everything.
That's right. I got that. I'll tell you why I got it. I had another Airport Extreme base station, but I've always had problems with that base station. I've had it for 3 years, and finally, I got fed up because I really had abysmal reception in certain parts of the house.
If you were going to get an Airport Extreme base station anyway, why didn't you get a time capsule?
Well, because I had already a hard drive, for backups.
Right, but you've got a laptop with the time capsule to do it wirelessly.
Let me explain. Are supposed to be able to connect a hard drive to the Airport Extreme base station.
Yeah, but it's not supported to use that for time capsule. Although you can trick it into doing so.
How can I trick it into doing so? Don't go into that right now. But that's what I was going to go into. I was really annoyed that I couldn't fucking get the damn thing to go and back up through the fucking thing.
Yeah, see, Apple has never... when they first announced that the Time Machine feature was going to exist, they on the feature list was backing up to network drives. But then they dropped that from the feature list before it was actually released. And supposedly because they had... they just weren't able to get, and this is all rumors. Apple has never, of course, said anything. The rumor was they were never able to get it quite as reliable as Apple likes to get things before they release them. So they nixed that feature from the officially supported list.
But here's the problem.
Yes.
The damn Time Machine lets you pick that damn network drive for backup, and then just sits there and it doesn't work.
That's weird. I thought it wasn't supposed to let you at all. The way you fool it, by the way, is to start your first backup with the drive physically connected to your computer and then put it on the network and pick it.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Okay.
The backup never worked.
So now I've got that working right now on a network drive that's attached. It's actually attached to a time capsule, but as a second drive. And I've got it working, so I don't. You should be able to get it to work. Google around and find. You'll get it to work. But it's officially not supported. Officially, according to Apple, if you want to do Time Machine backups over the network, you need a time capsule.
Well, but anyway, so I got the thing. So now what I did is that I had a. Well, I have an Apple TV. Okay.
Yep.
And so the one thing is that I didn't realize that the Apple TV also really replaces – if you had an Airport Express to drive sound from your computer so you could hear iTunes through your stereo, well, the Apple TV does that too.
Right.
Well, I didn't realize that at first.
Okay.
So I went and I realized, wait, this is superfluous. I have the Airport Express and the Apple TV right here. They're both connected to the stereo. It doesn't make any sense. But I always had really bad reception in my bedroom.
Oh, so you're using it as an extender now.
So that's right. So what I did is that I moved the Airport Express to the bedroom and put it as an extender. And then I actually put the other base station, which this is – you want to know the strange thing that was happening with the old base station was that the base station itself could add as an extension of the network of the Airport Express.
Yeah.
Okay. But I couldn't do the reverse. I couldn't get the Airport Express to latch onto that base station as an extension.
That's weird. You should be able to do that too.
Oh, yes, I should. But I tried for I don't know how many days.
Once again, something I've got set up in the house.
Yeah, it refused, it refused, it refused, it refused. And that base station always was acted funky. It would freeze up every once in a while. Well, no, so I got a new one. I got the new one, okay, that has the dual band. And then what I did is I took the old extension, because it always was able to hook up as an extender, and I put that on one side of the on one side of the house, have an extension there, and I put the Airport Express on another side of the house, and then I put that as an extension. So right now, I've got fucking wireless coverage in this damn house like you couldn't believe. So now, before, it used to be that you had problems getting wireless signal in certain places. Now, it's like, now I got full signal out the yin yang.
I got to do that because there are a couple corners of my house, most specifically and most annoyingly, the side of the bedroom that I sleep in my bedroom, is like a dead zone. So like I can move like 4 feet in any direction and have a signal that's just fine. But right there where I'm lying in bed with a computer on my lap, I got nothing. And that pisses me off. But you know, the one good thing, you know, I mentioned I had relatives visiting. You know, last January, I had hooked my mom up, and my mom got a new computer. I got her I got her a time capsule. She was all set up doing backups and stuff. So her previous base station was an Airport Express. And it turns out her Airport Express was, she somehow over the years she'd gotten two of them. I had her bring them out here. So now, in addition to my real base station that's used, I have three Airport Expresses in the house, and I haven't done it yet.
Oh, cool.
She was just here. I was going to set them up in a whole bunch of different rooms with speakers.
Right.
So we could just, you know, anywhere you want sound in the house, you know, you want it in kitchen, you want it in the living room, you want it in bedroom, boom, 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 there you go. And
right.
Sometime once folks are gone, and you know, I'll set this all up in the house. But you know, that's some of the nifty stuff that's, you know, and I don't know why you're having troubles. This stuff's supposed to be brain dead.
The only thing I had trouble was with the time machine, but I don't know. We'll get that going. I mean, right now I got this new base station. It's working great.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. That here's the thing. Before I got this, a couple of months ago, I got fed up, and I went and I said, well, I have an airport station. Why don't I buy a Linksys? Okay?
Okay.
You know, well, it's half the price. You know, let me go get a Linksys. So I went, I bought a Linksys. And I bought a Linksys that my brother had called me up and said, I got this fucking Linksys. It's a piece of shit. I can't get this damn thing.
And so you bought it anyway.
Well, I said, well, it's got to be a problem. Let me see if I can get it. I actually bought one because I said, let me see if I can get it to work. Because if I get it to work, then I can tell my brother what the fuck to do. Well, I brought it in. Listen, I spent 4 hours trying to get it to work. I couldn't get the fucking thing to work. I got pissed off. I went back to Best Buy to return it. I still remember that I got really pissed off because I went back, and at Best Buy, they told me, oh, our return system is down. You'll have to come tomorrow to return it, okay? And I'm like, you son of a bitches. I'm like, you know, I could never get it to work. I went, I called up my brother. I told him, listen, get rid of that fucking piece of shit. It doesn't, look. I followed the directions. I called technical support on the phone. I said at one point, they could not get it to work with my broadband connection.
Okay.
No matter what. So, anyway. All right. So, moving on.
And any other wireless stuff you want to geek out about before we move to the next segment?
No. I think we're done with, you know, I think that we've already, probably
lost all our
out.
Listeners. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, pretty much.
So let's take another break, even though we're a couple minutes early because we went a couple minutes late on the last one. Whatever. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Hello, we are back now. So, anyway.
I am drinking wine as I'm doing the show, so I don't know if that's really a problem.
You're drinking wine?
Well, I do drink. I've cut back on how much alcohol I'm normally I'm drinking. Okay, overall.
In general, or during the show?
In general. But what I'm
doing is.
Because
you used to be quite a lush.
I can drink a lot. You know, I could down it with the best of them. But I consciously made an effort that, because here's a problem. I travel a lot and I have a lot of business meetings and I keep meeting with people and everybody always invites you to a bar to have a drink or whatever. And what I did is I made a conscious effort that even when I'm going out and these people ask me out, I'll limit to like one. Look, I'm trying to limit to 1 to 2 drinks at the maximum. Right. At any of the outings. Okay, I said I'm not going any over that. After that, I'm ordering water, I'm ordering something, because for multiple reasons. It's not because I'm, you know, it's affecting me or something in one way. It's actually more because of the damn calories associated with it. I mean, you have like
okay, listen, back to calories. Go ahead.
You have so anyway, but the other thing is that I'm trying to actually, because it is recommended for your good health to have like
a little wine,
one glass of red wine. So I'll try with every evening meal. We always have some wine, so we'll have like a glass or two, and you know we'll have it during the week. And I buy some good, relatively inexpensive bottles of wine for that. So I, you know, because it keeps your cholesterol down, so it's a good thing to have every day. So
you know, one of these shows, we're gonna get you. You know, off of your little resolution about no drinking, and we'll have you doing shots for the whole show, and we'll see how the fifth segment sounds.
I'll do that. I'm in for that. I'll try that. That'll be an interesting one. So I'll have to do shots during the show. Okay.
Anyway,
all right.
Speaking of shots, well, not really, but you know, the other segment we wanted to talk about briefly was our lovely balloon boy from last week.
I found out about Balloon Boy. Me and my wife, we went to the club like sometime during. We went to the club, and we're working out, and I finished my workout a little earlier than my wife. So I went out to the cafe, and I'm sitting down over there, and I'm having something to drink. I'm having a yogurt, and I'm having something, and I sit down. And I see on the damn news this fucking balloon going across. And then my wife comes down and she's like, "What's going on? Look at that fucking thing! There's supposedly a kid in that thing, you know." You know, so I'm like thinking, you know, because it looked like it could hold a kid.
Yeah, I'll tell you how I found it. I'm sitting at the table doing completely other stuff. I get a CNN news alert text message to my phone because I've signed up for those. And it's like, there's a boy in a balloon. So I'm like, oh, okay, let's turn on CNN. So I turn on CNN. And of course, this is exactly what they want. You know, because the whole, you know, people have been going nuts about, you know, this shows just how bad our media is. And you know, I'm no fan of the media. However, I will fully admit, this completely worked. They texted me,
yes.
CNN news alert, boy in a balloon. I turned on the fucking TV.
And you're watching a live feed.
And I'm watching the live feed on CNN for like the next 3 hours. You know, so, and you know, though, and the whole time the people are sitting around at the table where I am talking about, you know, oh, the boy's dead. Oh, he's probably not even in the balloon. Oh, he fell. You know, how would he get in that thing? There doesn't look like there's a door. Oh, yeah, it was a door. You know, people are talking about people are, you know, and this is exactly why. Yeah, and I'll, you know, like I just said, I admit it. I watched the damn thing.
I watched it for a while.
It's probably more CNN than I've watched in the last year, even during the Iran stuff, because they had crap on during the Iran stuff. You know, but meanwhile, okay. There's a fucking supposed boy up in a balloon.
Balloon boy!
You know, and I'm watching the damn thing. You know, and... yeah, this is exactly why they won't spend 3 hours on fucking Iran or whatever until they get shamed into it. Because
balloon boy,
you gotta watch the balloon boy, and you know, and of course it turned out to be a hoax. The guy was, you know, whatever.
Well, wait. They're accusing him of a hoax.
Okay, yes.
I haven't seen anybody prove that it was a hoax.
Okay, you're right. They are filing charges against him. But we have yet, of course, to see whether it comes out.
Just to be clear, the whole claim is very simple. They thought that he was in the balloon because they couldn't find him, okay? And then they found him holed up in the attic in a garage. Now, I will say this. Did I find it perfectly believable that the kid went up, cut the damn thing, let it loose, freaked out, and hid because he said, oh, fuck, I let go of the fucking balloon.
Well, yeah, but what the thing is that the reason that they're now, like, doing the whole investigation and bringing charges and stuff is because when they're interviewing the boy after the fact on the Today Show or whatever it was, or I think it was actually on CNN where he first did it, you know, they're like, why didn't you come out when people were calling you? And the kid says, because, Dad, you said we were doing it for the show.
He said that?
Yes.
Shit. No, I didn't see that interview.
And then on every other interview he did, he threw up.
Well, I don't know. What does that really mean? We're doing it for the show. He said that we're doing it for the show, talking right there. And he's a little kid.
I know. And then there's somebody else who's like a college student or something who's come out and said that the guy in question had approached him earlier about putting together some sort of proposal for a stunt that involved a kid in a balloon. And so, you know, what it looks like is, let me put it this way, is possible. I won't say I know this to be the case, but it looks like this guy was doing this as a publicity stunt to get attention for himself in order to up his chances of... He was going to pitch a new reality show to one of the networks or something like that. I mean, he'd already been on that other reality show.
Well, if he was looking to get attention, it worked.
It sure did. It sure did. You know, and anyway, like... You know, I'm conflicted here because, like I said, I've been on my high horse before about the networks and how they should be more serious and give us real stuff that's worthwhile and how worthless they are.
Balloon
and this is
boy,
why you go to
balloon
the...
boy, balloon boy.
Exactly, right. It fucking worked. Everybody watched. I watched. You know, so. So, you know, who the fuck can blame them? I mean, that's exactly what they want. Now, do I remember any of the ads that played while I was watching Balloon Boy? No. Sorry. And also...
But you don't remember any of the ads no matter what anyway!
No, I don't. And then I will also add that as soon as the coverage switched... I was watching CNN because they're the ones who paged me because I signed up for their news alerts. But as soon as whatever their daytime anchors who are, you know... Horrible, horrible in general. But when they finished and Wolf Blitzer came on, I immediately changed the channel. Because I just can't deal with Wolf Blitzer.
But I gotta admit, I haven't talked about this. If you look at current CNN as it stands right now, CNN is not as bad as it had gotten.
They're making some efforts. Well, and you got
because they got rid of all the entertainment shows. The only show left on the lineup. That is kind of an entertainment show is Larry King Live.
Okay.
Every other show is gone. And he'll die soon. Every other show is gone. The only other is the moron Lou Dobbs. But for the rest of the day, they're covering news from head to toe. And I mean, I remember that, and you know this. I mean, that I got really pissed off, especially in the 90s when they started putting these stupid shows like Talk Back Live and The House of Style and Showbiz Today had been there for a long time. But even they got rid of even the sports shows. They got rid of all. I mean, they've gotten rid of all of that, mm-hmm. And they're covering news from head to toe.
So what you're saying is I should give CNN another chance? They're on the upswing again?
Well, what I'm saying is that compared to what they had been doing in the early 2000s, which had been putting all these idiotic shows that were entertainment shows, they actually got rid of all of them, and they're just actually trying to cover news from almost all day, to be quite honest with you, which is a lot better than what they had been doing for a while in the last 10 years. So...
You know, I can believe you maybe, but I think they've still lost
they
me
still,
at
no,
using
no,
them as a primary news lost. Source until the next time they page me and tell me there's a boy in a balloon.
Boy in a balloon. Now we know how to get your attention.
Or there'll be a boy riding a shark, or, you know, there'll be, you know, I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
Ah.
Balloon boy.
So balloon boy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Time for a break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back in a balloon.
Thing.
What do you get when two housewives produce an online poetry journal? poems celebrating dishwater, breastfeeding, and lunar phases? Quick trips to the pool boy? Maybe. But they like to believe they offer much more than that. There's no telling what you'll get at the No-Tell Motel. But I hear sneaking out and keeping everything hush-hush is kind of sexy, and they're hot for discretion. Having it all keeps our two housewives awfully busy, so they like to stop and smell the posies, spend quality time with their poets, which is why their rendezvous lasts a full 7 days, a new poem each weekday. Each year they slip their room key to 52 poets and indulge in 260 poems. Their spouse's misfortunes are your gains. Meet with them daily at notellmotel.org. They'll be in room 5C, sipping the latest cocktail recommended in Martha Stewart's Living, scribbling marginalia.
Okay, enough balloons, enough nutrition, enough Apple weird gadgets, time capsule. So I'm gonna cross talking about the iMac rumors off the list, and because we talked about time capsules instead. I'm gonna cross talking about in-app upgrades for free apps on the iPhone. Too geeky. You got anything? I gave you a list of things earlier, Yvonne, before we started the show. Any one of them you particularly want to talk about? We're on the last segment.
Afghanistan?
Okay, go for it.
But do we really want to talk about Afghanistan?
I don't think we... I looked at a summary. I have not watched any of them, but I looked at a summary of the Sunday news shows this Sunday, and, you know, Afghanistan was one of the big topics. What are we going to do? It has been for the last few weeks. You know, McChrystal wants, like, 40,000 new troops. Obama's still thinking about it. Biden basically wants to get out. You know, I don't know. My bottom line opinion continues to be, if we're going to go in there and stay in there, then the only way it's not going to be a disaster is if we go all in, not just with a bunch of troops, but with an understanding from the get-go that we're in there for a multi-decade commitment. Not just another year or 2 years. We're in there for the long haul. Like, we're going to be in there as long as we've been in Germany and Japan.
Oh, fuck. Then let's get out.
So if we're not going to do that, then let's get the fuck out. Because the other thing I think is, you know, if the quote-unquote reason we're there is to keep al-Qaeda from getting a foothold, well, guess what? They're mostly out of Afghanistan already. They're mostly in Pakistan now. But regardless of where they go, the whole nature of that kind of organization is they can go somewhere else. Before they were in Afghanistan, they were in Sudan. You know, when we started messing around in Iraq, they sort of transplanted themselves into Iraq some. Yeah, they can move around. You put all your efforts in one place, they're just gonna move. And in the process anyway, you know, if you try to look at it rationally in terms of a cost-benefit analysis that's not unhinged by emotion, you can look at it and say, okay, let's say we don't worry about it and let al-Qaeda do what they want to do. And every few years, they pull off a 9/11. Okay, let's say
fuck.
That's the worst case scenario. And that may not happen, but let's call that the worst case scenario. If you add it all up, are all of the military adventures to prevent that from happening, including all the troops lost, all the costs of those wars, all of the added inconveniences for security and for other things, when you add that all up, in the end, is that actually more of a cost than the one 9/11 a decade? I mean, look how much we've certainly lost more people.
I'm gonna go with this theory. I think that by having active intelligence, activities, by being engaged with other governments, by doing proper, you know, screening of who moves, who does this, who does that, using intelligence information properly, we could probably keep the nation secure and not necessarily be fucking bogged down in Afghanistan. Okay, I think that we could probably pull out of Afghanistan and let them fucking
You know, and yeah. I hope this is part of the stuff that Obama is taking a serious look at, because on the one
Biden is coming to that conclusion.
I mean, Biden is making that case. Now, of course, Obama has the issue that during the campaign and during the first part of his administration, you know, the thing he was always saying is, you know, Bush took the eye off the ball. He went into Iraq. It was a distraction. Afghanistan is where the real war is.
But he's kind of backed himself into a corner.
So, I mean, if he said, let's get the fuck out of Afghanistan, he basically...
One of the things about having this presidency and a change from the Bush administration is that he's willing to say he's wrong, he's willing to change his mind based on actual information.
That's what I was going to say, is I hope he's, you know, if he decides that, okay, the right thing to do here is get out, then he has to be able to get up there and say, I know what I said. But I no longer believe that. I have new information.
Based on the new information and what we've assessed on the ground, you know what?
Or even just, I was wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you make an assessment, you know, it's a very different thing, the information that he has now versus the information you could have as a candidate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I mean, I'm sorry. If you're not going to change your opinion based on the new information, then you're a fucking idiot.
And that's exactly what we had for many years.
Exactly.
And we'll see. I think this is going to be one of the major tests. You know, and do I know for sure that doubling down in Afghanistan isn't an okay thing to do? It might not be, you know, maybe it will get us a lot of progress. But I mean, it seems like we've got a government there that we don't really believe in, that's pretty corrupt.
No.
You know, and are we really going to double down to support that government? Are we going to do something else there? Are we going to really try to understand the area well enough that we can be productive and do something actually useful there, as opposed to just being ham-fisted and making an even bigger mess? You know, I don't know that I have the confidence that we have the skill to do that right. Because, you know, we certainly have not shown it in recent decades. Whenever we've tried to get involved in that in some place in this kind of way, we've tended to, in one way or another, fuck it up. You know? And so I'm not convinced that the all-in is the way to go, or even the half-in. Like, because I really think that they're proposing more troops, but I don't think that I've heard the proposals that really say we're going to take it seriously enough that I believe it would stand a real chance as opposed to getting worse. Let me tell you something.
I think that, I'll tell you what, you know, if you ask me right now, and based on what looking at Biden's side, what he's proposing, I think that, look, if we have a proper government installed, if we support them not with an entire military presence that we provide, but we support them with weapons and stuff and whatever and intelligence and blah blah blah, and we're there more as a support instead of being the active military force there. Okay, if we also support a Pakistan. Okay, because the Pakistanis, I think they even got their ass kicked last week when the the Taliban went and attacked their army headquarters last week, and I think that was a little bit of a rude awakening for them, the fact that they were that vulnerable. I think that we could probably get a lot more of that. And if we have intelligence resources on the ground and in the field finding out what the fuck they're doing, that's
part of the problem too. Is historically we have not.
But we got to change that.
Right. Yeah. I think you're right here. I mean, I don't know. I think with the limited information I have, which being not an expert in the subject, admittedly not following it even as closely as I could cover it using the media, let alone like having access to classified information, which of course I don't.
Have access to classified information? Fuck. What the hell, we got you on this fucking show anyway?
I know. But, you know, I am just not seeing a scenario where I really feel comfortable with the idea that putting more resources in there is actually going to lead to a positive result in any sort of reasonable time scale. And I'm not seeing the downside of getting out as being that huge, even if you get the worst case scenario of Afghanistan going completely to hell and the Taliban taking over again. I mean,
you know, the only time that we've ever gone in a fucking invasion and like the outcome has been really, really positive is like when we fucking marched into Germany with like I don't know how many fucking million troops, and we fucking occupied the place and took the, you know, pretty much like we fucking owned the place. Okay. And we virtually spent the country close to bankrupt, okay?
And keep in mind, we did not officially end the occupation of Germany until 1989. 89.
Yeah. 89, okay, people? So, you know, and that took, I think in today's dollars, would be well north of a couple of trillion dollars, okay?
Oh, probably,
so,
yeah.
Well north of that. I mean, it must have been, I don't know. If it translated to today's dollars, the figure would be unimaginable. So, you know, it's just, you know, we're trying to do these invasions on a budget, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, we have weapons that we can destroy anything that we want.
I was going to say, let's go back to 80s style. If we really want to get involved, just drop a bunch of bombs on them and then leave, you know? I don't see it. I don't see the equation that, yeah. And going back to, I always liked Colin Powell's old Powell, you know, the Powell doctrine or whatever he called it, you know, of look, if you're going to go in, you have to have clear objectives. You have to know what your end game is. You know, have to know how you're going to get out again. You have to have strong political support at home for whatever you're going to do. And you
agree.
Go in with absolutely overwhelming force.
I agree.
You know,
I totally agree.
And
everything else is half-assed.
Everything else is half-assed. And if you're not going to go all in and you're not going to do it right, yeah. And even if you had some of the other things in that equation lined up, which I don't think you do. You don't have the public support, and I certainly have not seen a clear articulation of what the goal is and what the end game is. So I just don't see this as a rational...
Is the goal to find Bin Laden, just to bring him up so we can string him up? I mean, I'd buy into that goal, I guess, if we're going to finally just say, fuck it, man, we're going to find Bin Laden.
Well, he's probably in Pakistan anyway, if he's even
alive.
But, you know, anyway, I just think now maybe Obama can come out and articulate that and convince me, but he certainly has not done so far.
They haven't done so, no.
And,
I agree.
And so yeah, I would be, you know, I'm seeing get the hell out as a viable option there, you know, and of course it would have to be done somewhat carefully, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, if we do that, we have to accept the possibility and be ready for the possibility that, you know, Afghanistan will not be a place we like in a year or two or three. And
let me tell you something. Afghanistan has not been a place that anybody has liked in a long fucking time. Okay?
I hear it's kind of pretty.
I'm sure it is. But, you know, it's been kind of, you know, dare we say, rife with violence.
Yeah. Anyway, we're way over time, so let's
yeah,
cut this
done.
Off. I don't
we're
think
toast.
We have anything else to say.
All right.
So thanks everybody once again for joining us. Please tell your friends to listen to the show too, and how much you love us.
Yeah, I know. Even when you say all sorts of stupid shit, but
yeah,
it's okay
because we are absolute idiots, and we admit that, and we don't know what we're talking about, and we make shit up. So you know, enjoy that.
No. We're a little bit better than that, but okay. But anyway,
A little bit. Okay. And so, you know, send us feedback. Email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com or comment on abelsmay.com when I post the episode notes. And, you know, that's it. Tune in to us again next week. In the meantime, goodbye.
Bye-bye.